title. Today's episode will be discussing Michigan State's schedule that was released yesterday morning. Also, talking about the quarterback position that is still undecided and where I lean that way. Next. So the Spartan schedule was released yesterday morning on FS1 around 10 a.m., 11 a.m., whatever time it was. And we finally, after months of not knowing what's happening, we finally know what's going to happen. And we also know the schedule. It's going to be an 8-game schedule for those that missed it. The opponents include Rutgers, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, Maryland, Indiana, Iowa, and Northwestern. No, I know it's not in that order, but I'm just listing the opponents for you guys. So first things first, what jumped off to me was obviously week 2 at Michigan. I was curious to see where that game landed. You know, I didn't know if they were going to throw it at the end of the year, beginning of the year. Turns out week 2, the Spartans will travel to Ann Arbor to face, in my opinion, a young Michigan team. Just how the Spartans are, except the Spartans just are a very inexperienced football team where Michigan's just a young and talented team. Both rosters are going to have new QBs this year. Most likely them, Joe Milton, with Dylan McCaffrey announcing he's going to opt out and transfer. And then Michigan State, we have no idea. I'll get into that later in the episode. But I just want to talk about the schedule first, give my record prediction, you know, talk about how many I think this team can win and why expectations have to be tempered this year. Although I do worry that if this team overachieves more than fans think they will, that heading into year 2, there can be some unrealistic expectations for Mel Tucker, kind of how the Cleveland Browns had unrealistic expectations going into last year, and then they just absolutely weren't as good as fans thought, and you know the rest. That's just the worst thing that can happen. So I just tell you guys before all this, before I talk about the schedule, that have realistic expectations. This is a brand new coaching staff that's honestly was given the worst situation that a coach has probably ever been given in the Michigan State coaching history. Just about, like, you know how the taking over in COVID, or not in COVID, but I mean basically a month before COVID actually started hitting, affecting the world, not being able to have recruits on visits through now January 1st, which is a killer. I've talked to multiple recruiting experts that have said they think that's the wrong decision. It's hard enough for a coach to get a recruit, let alone try to recruit kids that haven't met the coach in person to sign your letter of intent over for the next 4 to 5 years, which is very unfortunate. I hope the NCAA can reverse that, although I don't think it's likely. So for those that were wondering about recruits visits, you're not going to see many more visits since they just extended the dead period through January 1st. So for that, I just want to get that out of the way. But now the schedule. So like I mentioned, Rutgers, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, Maryland, Indiana, Iowa, Northwestern. The road games are very, very difficult, I noticed, playing at Iowa, at Michigan, at Penn State, and I think it's at Maryland was the other one. And then I look at the home games, Rutgers, Northwestern, Indiana, and obviously the hardest of them all, Ohio State, I think is the second to last game, I want to say. Don't quote me on that. I know Penn State's the season finale, but yeah, let's get right into it. So looking at it right now, the first time I looked at it, I was like, all right, you know, I wanted to have realistic expectations. I said to myself, you know, I see 3-5. I wanted to be realistic. I said, I see a Rutgers win. I see you pick and choose. I think we should beat Maryland. I don't know, though. And then I looked at Indiana. I said, I'm not sure about Indiana. So then I picked the third one as Northwestern. And the more I look at it now, I mean, Northwestern's going to be a lot better than last year. Hunter Johnson going to year 2 in that system. You guys remember, transferred from Clemson, was a former 5-star. So they have, I mean, he wasn't very good last year, but that roster was also very inexperienced. I think they had 5 new offensive linemen, freshmen. They just weren't very good last year. Michigan State went into Evansville and absolutely mowed the brakes off Northwestern. I expect them to be a lot better this year, but that game's going to be in East Lansing. So, yeah, like I said, 3-5 was my initial reaction. The more I look at it, I definitely could see 4 wins. 5 would be, I mean, you're talking a coach of the year candidate. If he's able to pull off 5 wins right there, you know, you can ask any other fan base. That would be, I mean, he'd probably win coach of the year in the Big Ten. So the more I look at it, I'm seeing 4-4, guys. I think Rutgers is very, obviously very reasonable. Maryland, Northwestern, and then I look at Indiana or Iowa. I believe we can win one of those football games. At Iowa's always one of the toughest places to play, not in the Big Ten, but college football. You know, they've upset top teams over the years. Like, I feel like every year they upset someone. They give Penn State a run for their money every year there. They upset Michigan a few years ago when they had Drew Brees Peppers. And obviously, you guys remember, they beat the beatdown, the 31-point beatdown they had on Ohio State a few years ago. So going there in week three, or maybe it's week four, but it's really early. I know that. That's going to be a brutal one. So, I mean, 3-5, I would not be surprised, but 4-4 is also very realistic. I know Naquan Jones, if you guys saw on Twitter, I think Spartan Avenue posted why 4-4 is not unrealistic for fans, and he got he didn't get mad, but kind of clowned him, said, "Come on, man, 4-4, that's what you guys are thinking." You know, basically saying he expects the team to win more than four games, and I love that energy. You know, I mean, for a fan like myself or any of you guys, that's the energy you want to see. You don't want to see the energy like, you know, not trying to go off track here, but former Lions players just bashing that team left and right, calling out Patricia. That's a whole nother story for another day, but you guys get what I'm saying. It's good that the team is this connected. Tucker's done an amazing job up to this point. Just everything he's done, he's been great to the media, great to whoever, the fans, giving inside access, doing podcasts left and right, showing videos of his dogs, whatever the hell it is. He's been great. There has not been one bad thing I've heard out of Mel Tucker since he arrived at East Lansing, and I know you guys will say the same thing there. So right now I'm going to have tempered expectations. I'll say 3-5 at the worst, 4-4 at the best. I don't think this team is good enough to beat Michigan just yet, but it is good that we get them early in the year, week two, before, you know, hope, because, you know, I don't know, guys. You know, with Josh Gattis, he's a pretty good play caller at OC, especially if Joe Milton gets in there. He could either be an absolute bust, or he can be like a Kyler Murray, Spencer Rattler type, the quarterbacks for Oklahoma. So that's going to be tough. I don't know right now to tell you what the score is going to be, but Michigan, Ohio State, at Penn State, those three are going to be really tough. And then every other one is really winnable. Whether they're going to do that, I don't know. I'm just saying they are winnable. Now what you guys all want to know, the quarterback situation. So as you guys all know, Brian Lewerke was Michigan State's quarterback the past three seasons. In year one, he went 10-3. And then obviously the last two seasons, back-to-back 7-6 years for him and the squad. So going into this year, obviously you guys know he graduated. So it's a full new QB, not a full new, but it's going to be a new quarterback playing on Saturdays for the Spartans. In that quarterback room, you guys know already, that contains Rocky Lombardi, Peyton Thorne, Theo Day, and freshman Noah Kim. I was going to say true freshman, but obviously you guys know that. So true freshman Noah Kim. So first things first, who I would like to start. Now before I answer this, I want to preference it. Who I would like to start, not who I think's going to start. Who I would like to start. I would either like Theo Day or Peyton Thorne to start. You know, maybe part of me that I know Peyton decently well, you know, playing golf with them and stuff before. Maybe that's getting ahead of, you know, getting in my head a little bit. But also, I just believe, all right, this is what I came to this theory earlier this morning. So you guys, if you guys watch the NFL, for those that do, I'm sure you saw the Chiefs play the Chargers last night. And Patrick Mahomes led the comeback, and they beat the Chargers. And the more I think about it, this quarterback room is identical to the Chargers. So the next point is who I believe will start. I believe Rocky Lombardi is going to get the starting job. And this is why I brought the Chargers situation into this. For those that watch NFL, of course. So you guys know Tyrod Taylor is their starter. Yesterday, he was a healthy scratch, and Justin Herbert started. Just found out 10 minutes before game time he was going to start, and he absolutely went out there and lit it up, guys. Why I'm saying this, I believe we have the same situation here where the coach after the game says Tyrod Taylor's our starter if he's healthy. After he saw that, obviously, Justin Herbert is the future for that team, and Tyrod Taylor, let's just put it as it is, he's a mediocre NFL quarterback. He's good enough to get you, you know, a few wins, but nothing special. So now why I say that, I believe, you know, either Tyrod Taylor is Rocky Lombardi from Michigan State. You already know what you got with Rocky Lombardi, guys. I know a few players have told me, you know, he's working his tail off. He's grinding his ass off to get better. And hopefully he's, you know, hopefully they're all right and he comes out there and looks like Trevor Lawrence. But honestly, realistically, I don't know how much better he's going to be. The only thing I will say is with a new offensive staff, I believe he's going to be better. So I'm not sitting here saying he's going to be terrible. All I'm saying is you already know you got out of him. I believe there's been few people that said he should look at a position change. Now, I'm not on here just bashing the guy. I'm just telling you why I compared it. So, like I said, Rocky Lombardi, Tyrod Taylor. I believe you already know you got out of Tyrod Taylor. Same situation with Rocky Lombardi. You already know you have out of Rocky. Last year when he played, the year before that when he played, he would make a good throw and you'd be like, damn, like, all right, you know, he can beat out Lewerke. But then he would just come back with play after play. You're like, scratch your head, like, what was he thinking? You know, like, he'll just come out with boneheaded plays. And the reason, like I said, I threw Justin Herbert in there was that's how I look at the backup quarterback position for us. You know, they already know what they have out of Tyrod Taylor. We already know what we have out of Rocky Lombardi. So what are you losing playing Peyton Thorne or Theo Day? You know, why not build for the future? That's how I look at it. You're not coming out week one against Ohio State. You're coming out against Rutgers. You know, I mean, I don't think it matters that much who the quarterback is week one. So now I will agree maybe week one you could play Rocky, and I will defend them on that. But going later into the year, I just don't see why they won't throw the young guy in there to get them more experience. So then the following year, you guys, I mean, Rocky's, I think he's a redshirt junior, but I just, he'd be the guy where I think if he lost the job, he would probably be on his way either transferring or definitely switching positions. So that's why I compared it to Justin Herbert and Tyrod Taylor. You know, I believe you already know you have out of Rocky Lombardi, same situation. They already know what they have out of Tyrod Taylor. Where Herbert came in yesterday, he impressed them. The whole, you know, every network, ESPN, Fox, are all raving about how good he looked out there in the future. That's how I look at it. You know, you put Theo Day, whether it's him, Peyton Thorne, I don't know which one I'd rather have, to be honest. I you guys know what I'm getting at. I've been explaining it for 5 minutes at the same situation. But who I would like to start, like I just said, either Theo Day or Peyton Thorne. I don't really have a preference because I don't know how either of them looked in camp. Who I believe is going to start, I think Rocky Lombardi is going to end up getting the start just because of how much limited time they've had in camp this year. That's a big factor as well, with COVID and all that, getting 2 weeks off because the whole team had a quarantine, just getting practice canceled because the Big Ten season was canceled, postponed, whatever. Now they're back to practicing. It's been rough on the guys. I will give them all that. I will give them all the praise in the world for the way they've all handled it. It's been really tough, not just for Michigan State, but for all sports teams coming back in general. So